What's up, citizens of Apologia? This is King Ginger, and I just wanted to take a moment to encourage you all to sign up for Apologia All Access. When you sign up for Apologia All Access, you're going to get exclusive on-demand content. This means that you and your entire family are going to get to watch every single TV show, every single after show, and every single Apologia Academy, with new content dropping every single week. But most importantly, your contribution helps Apologia Studios create quality, Christ-centered entertainment that reaches millions of people on our YouTube channels and through our podcast with the gospel. So what are you waiting for? Change everything at ApologiaRadio.com.
Non-rockabotus must stop. I don't want to rock the boat. I want to sink it.
Are you going to bark all day, little doggy, or are you going to bite?
Brett, delusional
is okay in your worldview. I'm an animal. You don't chastise chickens for being delusional. You don't chastise pigs for being delusional. So you calling me delusional using your worldview is perfectly okay. It doesn't really hurt.
She hung up on me.
Yes!
Oh! What?
What?
Desperate times call for faithful men and not for careful men. The careful men come later and write the biographies of the faithful men, lauding them for their courage.
Go into all the world and make disciples. Not go into the world and make buddies. Not to make brosives.
Right.
Don't go into the world and make homies.
Right.
Disciples.
I got a bit of a jiggle neck. That's a joke, Pastor.
When we have the real message of truth, we cannot let somebody say they're speaking truth when they're not.
Take an amazing journey to a place that will blow your mind and move your heart so you will never be the same again.
Wash yourselves, make yourselves clean, remove the evil of your deeds from before my eyes. Cease to do evil, learn to do good, seek justice, correct oppression, bring justice to the fatherless, plead the widow's cause. Isaiah chapter 1, y'all. Get it. Welcome back to another episode of Apologia Radio. Back in the studio today, I am back from Australia and New Zealand, so good day, mates. I'm tired. I'm so tired, I can't even move. I'm barely able to get my fingers. Good day. Actually, that's something... Okay, so I learned a lot in Australia. I learned a lot of things that I thought about Australia were completely inaccurate. And I learned a lot of things that I thought about Australia were completely and totally accurate. Like, for example, they do say good day, mate.
Yeah.
A lot.
Did you check the toilets?
Definitely true. Toilets? Oh, the toilets. Yeah, they flush the other direction.
I'm surprised you didn't do a live video of that.
They spin the other
way.
As
you like to do that.
Yeah, every toilet in Australia and New Zealand has the option to flush it either for number one or, so it can bring on conservation. And so there's not a toilet there that doesn't give you the option to flush number one or number two.
Did you flush number two just in spite?
I was like, you're not going to tell me what to do. So I'm super tired. I'm exhausted. And I still have not... come back on the rebound yet, and it is Thursday, and I still feel like it's Sunday night when I landed. I don't know what's up. I know Luke told me it's going to be way worse on the way back.
Yeah,
because
you adjust pretty quick.
Because you went to Japan last year, and so I haven't flown on a long flight like that in a long time. So my flight out, I'll just talk about this for a second. My flight out, your adrenaline's going, you're excited. I went from Phoenix to San Fran, stayed there for 4 hours. 4 hours, here's the thing. First of all, I love you, Australia, New Zealand, and brothers and sisters there are just incredible people. We have such a huge, huge following in Australia. I can't even begin to describe it to you. I mean, there are no words. I can't tell you. It's amazing. But whoever booked the tickets did not have a lot of love for Jeff Durbin. Let me just tell you that right now. I think whoever booked the tickets was like, I'm just so excited to get him out here. Let's just get the flights and let's not even consider what that will be like for Jeff and his daughter. Because on the way out, it was 4 hour layover in San Fran. Then it was a 14-hour flight from San Francisco to Auckland, New Zealand. 4 hour layover there. And then it was a 3.5 hour flight from New Zealand to Australia. And then when you go to Australia, you actually go back in time. So, like, you keep going back in time, like, as you go.
Wow.
And so it was just totally threw me off. So we get to Australia on
Saturday morning at 9:30 a.m. after traveling, I guess that's close to 24 hours, and we have to try to stay awake from 9:30. Right? I didn't sleep at all on a plane because it's just really hard to sleep on a plane. And so I'm trying to stay awake and get my daughter to stay awake until at least 8. We said 8 p.m., and then we'll go to bed because I got to teach three times tomorrow, three services. And so I got to get some rest. I can't be up all night. And so I said, we got to stay awake. So we're like drinking coffee all day. We're literally dancing in the room with music, trying to stay awake. And so like we're like 8 o'clock. And then like around 5 o'clock, it was like, okay, 7 o'clock, 7 o'clock. And then by 6 o'clock, we're like, 7 o'clock. And then by 6:30, we were like, done. And so, but here's the thing. I woke up Sunday morning to teach and I was basically fine. I felt like I feel great.
Yeah.
I feel really, really like, hey, I'm good to go. And so I was tired for like a day or two, but I was like, I was right at it. Now coming back, it's Thursday. It's about 5 days later. And I feel like I've been hit by a truck. I feel like I was freshly run over this morning. And I'm just wondering when it's going to give up, when it's going to stop. But anyway, that's how I'm feeling. How you feeling, Luke?
Good.
Good?
Yeah, I'm good.
We got Luke the Bear. We got Steady Randy.
Hello, sir.
We got Joy the Girl.
Hello.
King Ginger on the ones and twos in the back.
Right here.
And exciting show for you guys today. Obviously, big stuff happening in the world. We're going to talk a lot about the election. Obviously, Donald Trump is now president-elect of these United States. A lot of interesting things happening in the world today as a result of it. Going back for a moment to Australia, let me go ahead and just try to describe for you what I saw in two ways. One, how Apologia Radio has affected the world by God's grace. I didn't know what to expect necessarily. We go to conferences all the time and we get to hear your stories and hear about how God has used this radio program to reshape your theology, to have you start ministry, to get you involved in seminary, those sorts of things. And those are always a blessing to hear. But I didn't quite know, and I don't think Dr. White quite knew, even though he's been to Australia a number of times. I think this is his fourth time. I don't think we quite understood the kind of impact that we've been having in Australia and New Zealand. So when I went to Brisbane first, it was packed out. It was basically sold out into the overflow room. The overflow room, I think, was sold out as well. I got to hear so many stories from brothers and sisters in Australia that really, really... I mean, it was hard to hold back tears myself looking at these people. First of all, like, did you ever like consider how big Australia is? Did you ever realize that?
I just looked when you were there because I was comparing it to the U.S. Yeah. And it's basically
the same size.
The same size.
So that's what I didn't know. I thought I'm going to Australia.
It's a lot more kangaroos.
Yeah, I thought it was, you know, kind of smaller, maybe the size of Texas or something like that. But Australia is essentially the size of the United States of America, and so. I got to meet several groups of people. One in particular was interesting. It was a group that came from a church that drove, I think, upwards of 19 hours one way.
Wow.
Just to come and see me teach. And so that was really encouraging. They were just telling me their stories about how God has used the radio show to really change what they're doing in Australia. One guy, after the thing was over, I went out to eat with Imogen, my daughter, and we're sitting in this busy business district in Australia. Really cool, by the way. Their food, Australia, you definitely have the U.S. beat on food. I will absolutely say that. So we're downtown having some gelato.
Did you go to a steakhouse in the Outback?
I did. Not in the Outback, but I did go to a steakhouse. And it was good. But we're sitting there, and then these two guys walk up, and they recognize from the conference, and they were like, hey, Jeff, they said, good to meet you. They had driven from the western side of Australia to Perth, I think they said, and then they flew from Perth to Brisbane. And from what I understand, that's basically like the trip-wise is like going from across the United States, completely across, just to come to this one conference. That was in Sydney. That just kept happening. And so I want to say to everybody who's listening to this show in Australia, New Zealand, I love you guys. You made my time there just a blessing. It was difficult, but amazing. And it was a tremendous gift. I think I took 150 selfies in one day, which was weird, but, it was encouraging because each time someone would come up and say, I want to take a picture, I got to hear their story, which was really cool. So God is doing big things. Okay. Second thing I wanted to say about Australia and New Zealand is that this surprised me. Our political process and what's happening in the U.S. dominates their media. So it's like, the topic of conversation on all their media is the United States of America and what's happening with us. I don't think we realize just how dramatic an effect United States politics and policies
right.
have on the world economically. By the way, this is good and bad. Australia, in particular, I noticed they essentially get from the U.S. what we put out. So that is good and bad. So, for example, I was talking to some kids in the car on the way to church, right? And these kids have these thick Australian accents, right? I mean, thick as you can get. I mean, really fun to listen to them. And so I said to them, I said, when I'm speaking to you guys, do you think that I sound weird? Like, do you love my accent? Do you think that that's weird? Because I love your accent. I love to listen to you guys talk. How do you feel when I speak? And they were like, sounds normal. And then the dad was like, Koisty, he was like, his name is Koisty.
Oh.
He was like, all of our television shows, all of our movies, all we ever watch is what you guys make. He says, wow. So
right.
All we listen to is your accents all the time. And so our accent is normal. So here's the thing, good and bad. They get from the United States stuff like Apologia Radio, but they also get from the United States our policies, the garbage that our media sends out, they start to adopt. The people in Australia, the kids in Australia try to look like us in many ways. They take our music, which is not good in many ways. And that is destructive because what else do they take? All the theological garbage that comes out of the U.S.,
yeah.
Joel Osteen, Joyce Meyer, Paula White, these people, that gets shipped out to Australia too. And because it's United States stuff, the Australians seem to just really like it. Now, I'm sure some Australians are like, Jeff, not me. Okay. But that's just a trend that I saw, is that like whatever the U.S. ships out, it gets shipped out there and they adopt it.
Mm.
So there's good and bad to that, because if there's good stuff, you know, that's going to get there too. So here's the thing. People keep saying things like, you know, all the world's getting worse and, you know, Jesus is coming soon and don't polish brass on a sinking ship and everything else. Do you understand how insane that is? There are more Christians on this planet today than there ever have been in the history of the world. And you could do something today in the United States. You could do a show like us, Apologia Radio, Apologia TV, and it could make its way to the other side of the planet in the click of a button, and you could change Australia. Yes. Mm. Change Australia, the theological landscape of Australia, because you do a radio show in West Virginia. I mean, seriously, it's that amazing, the kind of things that are happening in the world today. Now, of course, I understand things are nuts right now. There's a lot of sin, there's a lot of corruption, a lot of injustice, but goodness gracious, I got to see that here we are, this little church in Tempe, Arizona, that has said, well, let's have a teaching arm of the church, an outreach arm of the church. Let's get into the marketplace of ideas and let's fight the good fight. We did it. And now probably this year on track to close to 1 million downloads of just Apologia Radio, millions of views on YouTube, stuff being seen all over the planet. And then I'm getting to look at the faces of the people whose entire churches have been changed. Hmm. I met a group of guys, beautiful guys. These guys are amazing. They truly were glorious Christian men. That were from an independent fundamentalist Baptist, separated Baptist background in Australia, separated from the world and the culture, not really engaging. As a result of listening to Apologia Radio and seeing what we do, they disengaged from that, and now they're involved, reformed guys. Now they're involved in actually impacting Australia with the biblical worldview. It's a whole group of guys that are on fire for Christ because Apologia Radio.
Praise God.
I'm telling you,
awesome.
I got stories for days. I mean, I got stories for days, guys. So back to where we're at.
Did you see real quick the meme that was going around Facebook today? It's got like a person, their like face is like all the European countries. And
yeah.
Then there's a person whose face is like the U.S. And the European one, which would be the same for Australia. They're like, oh, I'm really worried about you or something like that. And then the U.S. person's like, I don't even... care who
I don't
you
even
are.
Think
I don't
of
never
you.
Think
I don't
about
never
you.
Think about you. And that's
true. Yeah.
Hey,
yeah.
Listen,
sorry, everyone.
We feel bad for you, that guys. And around the world, you guys are always thinking about us. But that is pretty much the American sentiment. We're like, wait, what? I kept calling Australia a little island. I know it's not, but I kept joking with them as, thanks for having me at your little island. They were like, laugh about it. But that's pretty much like what we thought. I thought Australia was like the size of like a little island.
Yeah.
And then I got there, I was like, oh, it's ginormous.
It's huge.
Yeah, it's huge. So what I was getting at was that when I turned on the news in Australia and New Zealand, the only thing they were talking about was our election process. That's all they were talking about. Donald Trump, I mean, the Australian people knew all about Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton.
Did they know about spirit cooking?
They did not know about spirit cooking. They didn't talk about that aspect. But it was full-on aggressive bias liberal media. I mean, we always say in the U.S., like our, you know, media machine we have, you know, liberal bias and, you know, they dominate with liberal ideology. Man, you don't even know. The United States, we've got it generally, I'd say moderate right now in terms of like the kind of bias. They are aggressively biased over there. I mean, it's like they're not even trying to hide it. It is just like one way. It was all for Hillary Clinton. It was all she's going to win. And it was all bad about Donald Trump. I mean, nothing negative about Hillary Clinton. It was just dropping bombs on Donald Trump the whole time.
So, and CNN runs Australia?
Yeah, I mean, I was like, I kept telling the guys, I was like, I can't believe your media. All they do is talk about how bad Donald Trump is and how amazing and glorious Hillary Clinton is. I mean, you guys would be surprised. It just really was. So it was just amazing to me, surprising. So,
how is that any different
than our media?
Yeah.
Well, and if you have to, I guess you have to see it to understand. I mean, it was. Oh, it's just hard to explain. I mean, the entire thing, they're absorbed in our electoral process, but everything is like minimizing. It's, I mean, genuine attempt at minimization of anything Hillary Clinton that could be seen as negative. And it was just an emphasis on just how bad Donald Trump is. And the only people they have on the show are people that want to talk about negative things about Donald Trump. And I just thought that was amazing that, first of all, that they were so enamored with our political process, but it was equally amazing that they would be so outlandish with how just much liberal bias there was.
Wow.
So that was surprising.
So yeah. If you went to a steakhouse, if you wanted somebody to hand you like the thing of rolls or something, would you say, will you fosters me that
no
thing of rolls?
So I learned some stuff. I learned some stuff. First of all, they think Foster's is disgusting. And here's what they said about it. They said, Foster's is what we ship to you guys because we don't want it here.
Right.
So they don't like Foster's. But I also learned some interesting things. If you want to buy someone lunch, you say, I'll shout you lunch. I'll shout you lunch.
I'm going to steal that.
I'll shout you lunch. That was, which was weird. I was like, well, why is that?
And they gave me this, you want to shout me lunch?
They gave me this whole weird explanation for it, but I was like, well, none of that makes sense to me, but okay, I'll shout you lunch. So, good day, mate. They say a lot, and what they say, it's
cheers.
Incessant cheers, yes, and no worries. No worries.
Oh.
Like, that's like on the end of every sentence, no worries. Like, they say that a ton. So, yeah, and okay, what else surprised you about Australia? I was surprised by the fact that they, when you go to like a big city like Sydney or Brisbane, it looks like a city in downtown Europe. So it feels like you're in Europe, which makes sense because, you know, colonized by the British. So I get that. But
none of our cities look like that.
I have a funny
though.
Story to tell you. Okay, you ready? This was awesome. And I felt completely out of my element. Sunday morning, first church service. Pastor goes up. Pastor starts giving a little mini message before my message.
Really?
Going through some scripture.
Really?
Yes.
That happens other
that
places?
Happens, yes.
Did you find like a soulmate over there?
Was my soulmate.
Did he give a mini post message?
Kindred spirit. So he goes up and he has, you know, his little mini message, and he's talking about we're slaves to Jesus and how there's true freedom under the king. So he's making the point that if you're a Christian, you're a slave of Christ, there's real freedom under that king. So, to give an illustration of this point, he points back to the king, I believe, the king that we fought with in the War for Independence. And he quotes that king in an endearing way. And is like, and even this king said, when there was this conflict, he said to the, like, to the American colonists, it's the most freedom is under the rule of this king. So if you want freedom, there's the most freedom under this king. And all these Australians there that think they're England, right? They're like, amen, amen. I'm like, hang them! I'm like, get them! Everyone around me is going, amen, amen, amen. I'm like, wait, who? Who just quote? I'm putting my black robe on. I'm like, let's go! So, and it tells you a bit of a cultural difference. They're like, yes, good king. He was a good king. There's freedom under the king. And I'm like, there's only one king, no king but Christ, y'all.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I heard that there's a monarchy there and they are all for it.
Oh, they love it. Oh, they want, a few of them wanted to debate it with me. And so I just kept saying, no king but Christ, y'all. I'm not gonna do this. No king but Christ. So that was
that's
definitely
why they like Hillary. Then is more that, government control.
Well, yeah.
Do they even First Samuel 8?
Do you even First Samuel 8? Oh, you want a king to rule over you, and that is not good. We have God who rules over us, y'all.
That's hilarious.
I know right now who if he's listening, he's having a hard time controlling his mouth. Josh,
I love you, Josh.
We love you, Josh. We know that you're struggling listening to this right now. He's a big fan of the monarchy, and many of them are. So anyway, we're back, and we're going to talk today about election stuff. We're going to try to go through a few clips that we think are important. But more important than that is today in this show, we are going to play for you the interview that we did with, I wish we had a drum roll.
Paul Ron.
Dr. Ron Paul. Yes, you heard that right. We didn't imagine it. It's not a dream of ours. We don't hope one day we interview Dr. Ron Paul, like for real. We didn't talk through email. We had Dr. Ron Paul on Apologia TV. You can watch the entire thing at Apologia Studios on YouTube.
That's already up now.
Thank you, All Access. We love you and we're grateful for you. If you support us through All Access, you get all the content and you make stuff like this. What we just did, possible, because believe it or not, it costs money to do things like this. And it wouldn't be possible without you. So thank you. We got Dr. Ron Paul. You're going to get to hear that interview today right here on Apologia Radio. I'm going to be so bold here as to say that I think we are the first Christian theological radio program, TV show that has ever had Dr. Ron Paul on. What do you think?
Well, there was John Lofton's show a long time ago.
Okay.
I don't even know who that is.
Yeah, but other than that, I have not heard Ron Paul on any.
How about a show that someone has heard of?
Well, some people consider InfoWars a religious show.
No, we're not.
They do.
Yeah, I'm sure we're going to get responses from what you just said. But it's okay.
I think you're right there. That's good. That's a good observation.
Especially since basically what we just said was, if we don't know about it, it doesn't count.
I'm just kidding. I hope you all know I'm just kidding. Hey, by the way, before we go to break, it'd be a good chance to say something. I'd like to address it real fast. So I'm in Australia trying to do the work of the Lord. I'm running myself into the ground. Dr. White's getting run into the ground. We got to spend a lot of time together, which was nice. I think we ate dinner together like four,
you
five
guys were working on that
times.
Romance, huh?
Yeah, yeah. We're definitely brosifs. We love each other.
I'm saying is I never got a wrapped gift.
Yeah,
from Jeff.
I did buy Dr. White a gift and I wrapped it. Yes. So we're running to the ground, and I see some stuff come across social media while I'm there. I can only get social media when I can find a Wi-Fi.
I tried to fill you in.
I know.
But after a while, I thought you were thinking, oh man, Marcus has jumped on the Illuminati wagon.
Because you kept seeing like
a demonic possession.
He's posting like Hillary Clinton's a Satanist and like Podesta's Satanist. I'm like, what are you doing?
I'm thinking.
I just left.
Jeff must think I'm insane.
I believe it's called the Illuminate.
The Illuminate.
I was like, I just left. I've only been gone 7 days. a couple things I want to address. One, a lot of people are bothered by the fact that on this show we are just sort of like laid back and easygoing and
laid back,
not pretentious and things like that. And people say, you know, just get to the content, get to the content. Here's what we have to say to that. No.
Yeah. It's our show.
It's our show. If you don't like how we do our show, then there's an amazing thing called them internets. You can easily get a microphone and you can produce your own content. This is how we do this show.
This is so 3 weeks ago.
Yeah. We like to... do you guys already have this conversation?
No, I'm just kidding. I forgot about this. That's
We like...
It's been so long.
Yeah, I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why. I can't tell you how many times, and I mean this, people came up to me in Australia and they say, Jeff, I feel like I already know you.
Mm. Right.
And I was like, that's what I want to take place. They said, I love all your stories. You guys talk about your family. You guys talk about what you do. I feel like I'm a part of your living room when I'm listening to your show. And that's why we do
right.
this show the way that we do. We are not going to be pretentious on this show. We're not going to do the show in a way where we act high and mighty and try to go over people's heads. We're going to do a show that's accessible. We're just going to be real with you guys on this show. What you see is what you get with Apologia Radio. And so that's the first thing. So in terms of 2% of people that say, hey, I don't like that you guys talked about your family stuff for 10 minutes before you got to the show. I just want to fast forward. Well, then go ahead and fast forward. But we're not going to stop talking about what's going on in our lives. So if it doesn't interest you, it interests us. I like to hear Luke's stories.
Oh.
Well, yeah, I just don't. I think we've all known each other for such a long time. I don't think the show would even. I don't think it could happen with us. We were just like, all right, now on straight to the issues. Right. Okay.
Yeah. So that's how our show is built and structured. If you don't like it, we're sorry in a way, but that's how we do it. So fast forward if you like. But I also saw somebody had, and we're going to do a show on this hopefully very soon. Somebody tried to critique one of our last episodes. And when they critiqued it, they said, Apologia Radio attacks Dr. MacArthur.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Now, let me just address it on this show because I want to address it. I'm not really sure how you can say Apologia Radio attacked Dr. John MacArthur. When I said the man is responsible for leading me to Jesus Christ and he has done more for the kingdom of Christ than I ever have or ever will do.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Don't see how you could do that. Did we critique Dr. MacArthur's position? Yeah.
Yes.
He's not beyond correction and he's not Jesus. Did we critique his eschatology? Yep. Because he's not beyond correction and he's not Jesus. He's a fallible human being, and I know a lot of people struggle when I say that about Dr. John MacArthur.
Yeah.
And that's part of the problem.
I would have 10 years ago.
Yeah, we have to get beyond the celebrity hero worship in the Christian church. You are to take my words and filter them through scripture, and we're to take Dr. MacArthur's words and filter them through scripture. We love the man, but we want to critique what he says, and we're gonna. In another week, we'll probably do a show critiquing a message that he gave, really, that was about his eschatology. And we're going to go through that as well. We're going to do it because we love the man. We love the people who are listening to the man. And we believe that we have a duty before God to love truth. That's all.
Yeah.
And
there's absolutely a difference, too, between attacking an individual and just going over the theology of what they said.
Right.
Right. Which is what
there's a huge difference between that.
And here's the thing. If you, let me just say this too, just encouraging young men who are coming up in ministry, if you have to use inflammatory language to get your point across or to get people's hearing, your position is probably not very strong.
Mm.
If you can't just get to business and address the issues and you have to use inflammatory language, it means that there's not a lot of health in your ministry and in what you have to say. So that's all. Now, moving on. Let's get to a quick break. We come back. We're going to hit this election stuff head on. Thank you once again to everybody who participates with this ministry in All Access. We love you. We're grateful for each and every single one of you. And to everyone in Australia that told me that you are a part of our All Access, wow. Thank you so much. I know I thanked you when I was there, but I just thought a lot about it, and we're grateful. So be right back with Luke the Bear, Joy the Girl, King Ginger, Steady Randy, right here on Apologia Radio.
Hi, this is Waterboy with Apologia Radio. I want to ask for y'all good friends of ours to go on and click that button there and become my friends on the book face. Facebook.com/Apologia Radio. Become my friend on YouTube, that there twerker. The twerker, I want to talk to you on the twerking. And send me out a twerk. What? Wait, what? Twitter. Apologia Radio on Twitter. And also want to tell you, we talk about apologetics and theology, and we do a lot of swing dancing, and we make a delicious chicken gravy. ApologiaRadio.com.
Hey guys, don't fast forward through this commercial. Important message for you guys. We're meeting at a new location for Apologia Church worship services. I'm Jeff Durbin, pastor at Apologia Church. Join us for worship 4 p.m. on Sundays.
We are a family integrated church. Sorry, do I introduce myself? They don't know who I am.
Yeah, you can say Joy.
I don't.
He can cut this, so just talk about
it. Yeah.
But what do I do at the church? They're going to be like, that's one of those churches that has a lady pastor.
I want to keep this as a part of the commercial. I want you to leave this. Okay. All right. Luke.
This is Luke the Bear, discipleship pastor at Apologia Church. And the new location we're meeting at like Jeff said, it's Tempe Vineyard Church. I think you said it was Tempe Vineyard Church.
No, I didn't.
You didn't, but that's okay.
You just did.
The address is 1805 East Elliott Road, number 112, Tempe, Arizona, 85284. That is on the southeast corner of McClintock and Elliott. Bring your wives, bring your kids, and bring your husbands too, because we're teaching everybody up in here.
Bring your beards, if you got them. Or no. It's up to you.
I'll have mine.
All right, guys. That's our new commercial. I think it's professional. We'll see you at Apologia Church. Join us for worship.
ApologiaChurch.com.
If you're like most of us and you hung out to the end to hear the results of the election, you're probably pretty tired, especially if you're on the East Coast. So what was it for them?
3 in the morning.
3 in the morning, right? Yeah. So just about 12 for us.
It was hilarious watching like Fox News and stuff. They were all just barely hanging on.
Yeah.
Like ready to throw in the towel.
I had thrown in the towel. Yeah. I was shutting all my lights off and the TV happened to be on, and that's when they announced
Me
it.
Me too.
I was like, oh, okay. So he won. And, okay, so how do we address it? Well, I like what Douglas Wilson said. He said basically to everyone in the world, you know, Hillary didn't get elected. You're welcome. Donald Trump did. We're sorry. And yeah. I don't know, that's kind of an interesting sentiment and way to put that. Here's my take on it right now, and I want to hear what you guys have to say. Donald Trump is the president-elect of the United States of America now. And here's what I'm hopeful for. He said that essentially abortion would be abolished. In the last debate, he was asked directly, and so was Hillary, by the way, about when the Supreme Court justices get nominated, would that overturn Roe versus Wade? And he didn't address it directly, which bothered me, but he finally got to it. And he said, yes, that would be the natural progression. That, yes, they would overturn Roe versus Wade. Now, Donald Trump, we have for the first time in a very long time, Donald Trump, who says he's pro-life. I understand he's flip-flopped his positions. I understand that he's broken covenant with some of his wives and he's bragged about it. So I know that he has a track record and a history of breaking promises. But here's what I will say I'm hopeful for. He says that he's pro-life. He says he's going to do away with abortion ultimately. And now we have a pro-life president by profession. We have a Republican-dominated House. Generally, Republicans are pro-life. A Republican-dominated Senate, generally, they are pro-life as well. And there's going to be some new justices of the Supreme Court that are going to be installed. So I believe, and I'm hopeful, that we're in a better position now to end abortion in the next 2 years than we ever have been in the last 40 years. Now, I understand people will say with a lot of skepticism, but what about this instance here and what about that? Okay, I get all that. And look, I'm not this blind optimist. I understand their skepticism and I understand that we have to be, you know, realist in some sense. But I do want to say that I'm ready to fight this with all I've got.
Yep.
I mean, we're in a position right now we have not been in. We weren't here last year. We weren't here the year before. We could have talked and talked and talked about what we could do.
We're in a better position than Bush was.
Right.
Because Bush had the full House and full Senate in midterm. We get it right off the bat, which means it won't be until 2020 that the Democrats really have a chance, because in the next election in 2018, they don't have as many seats up for grabs during that election. So we have essentially a 4-year period now where Republicans are going to control a lot. And so, like you said, like, it's not about optimism. It's about holding our representatives to the fire right now and letting them know that you're either going to do it or we're going to expose you for the frauds that you are. And that's exactly our position now. And, you know, there's a lot of women feminists who are freaking out right now.
Rachel Maddow, CNN, or MSNBC. What is she?
Yeah,
Which one?
She's MSNBC.
MSNBC. She said, right, essentially after Trump was elected president-elect, she said Roe v. Wade is in more danger now than it ever has been, I think is what she said.
Yeah, and the executive producer of BuzzFeed is a female, and she said she's scared now.
Good.
So, right. Absolutely. Good.
Well, and so Apologia Church is committed to, in the next 2 to 4 years, doing everything in our power. And when I say that, I mean that. We're going to put all of our power, all of our energy, all of our money into ending abortion. And you will see an aggressive campaign from us to end abortion in our nation. We are going to go to directly to the legislature, and we're going to call them out and say, be consistent. End abortion immediately. And if they do not do it with the power that they have to do so, we're going to call them out for the frauds that they are.
Yeah. I think, you know, one of the stories of this election is the power of social media over the mainstream media.
Yes.
They were not able to save Hillary because mainstream media, WikiLeaks, social media, Facebook was so strong in opposition against Hillary that they literally lost their power this election. And they know that.
Yeah.
And so that's why they were shocked. Like, I mean, if you watched, MSNBC was the best thing you could have watched on election night because it was like a mental breakdown.
Yeah.
Is it wrong that I've enjoyed seeing the liberals cry?
It's been fantastic.
Well, and they keep talking about the X factor. What's the X factor in this that we miss? They keep saying that. What's the X factor that we miss in
Hillary
all this?
Hillary is a criminal.
I always thought it was interesting. They were saying, man, these pollsters really got it wrong when WikiLeaks revealed.
I knew they got it wrong.
Well, they didn't just get it wrong. WikiLeaks revealed that the news networks were making fake polls.
Right.
So they didn't just get it wrong. They manipulated them. And then when the manipulation didn't work, they blamed them. So, but I think what I was saying is that if, and it says like 70 to 80% of the evangelical vote went to Trump, and then, so it shows, one, I mean, it's a shame that we have 80% of the vote that went to Trump. That shows how much power that we have to really influence an election on the grand scale. And so for those who have that defeatist attitude, well, there's nothing really we can do. We're stuck with the system that we have. That's not true.
You put them in office.
Yeah. That's absolutely not true. We showed that we can decide, the evangelicals can decide who can be president. And I don't know why we went with
Trump. And on policy.
Yeah, and on policy.
Yeah.
So we have the power, and I think we really need to stop being armchair revolutionaries now, and we really need to make some major moves to really, you know, take advantage of this, or else it's just, who cares? Donald Trump is not going to save America on his own. He's going to do whatever he wants unless he's forced to by the people to do what we want. And so, you know, we put him in there. Now we need to hold him responsible.
Right.
So,
yeah, I was just saying today, I'm like really conflicted because, like, I told Marcus a year ago, I was like, if Trump is elected president, we will be dancing in the streets. Because we'll be so excited.
Yeah, right? God shed a little grace on me.
Right, and that's the thing. It's like, you know, having Hillary as president would be like about the worst thing in the history of our nation.
Yes,
right?
It would be.
So there's reason to celebrate. It's almost like, oh, God does love us still, right? It's like he still is protecting us to some degree. And then it's like, oh, I just had a moment of reality and Donald Trump is our president.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like, okay, so you got to take the good with the bad. But I'm excited because, like you're saying, we, as in the conservatives, have control of everything for at least 2 years.
And not only that, but I think one of the good things, too, is that Donald Trump, he's not in the tank for the banks or in the tank for other powers.
Right.
Like, one of the things you saw with WikiLeaks was that the executive for Citibank was the one that chose Obama's cabinet. Right? Like, that's crazy.
Yeah.
That's crazy to think about. And so the fact that Donald Trump literally doesn't have that power, to the point that they actually had to close the stock market during election because the stocks were crashing because the banks were so afraid that they don't have the rule of the president anymore.
Right. Yeah.
So I think that's a good thing if we can make it to where Donald Trump is ruled by us.
Yeah.
This election. But that's going to take a lot of work. That's not going to be easy. And like I said on my Facebook status, I think we need to use all the resources that God gives Apologia over the next 2 years to really start creating programming that really drives this. And that's why it's important for our listeners to share everything about us, like start getting the message out about Apologia Radio. Because, I mean, Alex Jones had more of a viewership than the major cable networks.
Yeah, it's crazy.
So we have the power now. We have everything we need. We just
like 27 million, I think.
Yeah. So we have the technology here. We have all the camera and all the media that we could ever need to do this. We just need people to get it out there and to share it and to push it and to promote it.
Yes.
And there's nothing stopping a small little church in Tempe from really changing the political spectrum right now.
That's right.
We can do that in a grand way.
Yeah, I think the X factor, personally. When they say, well, they keep saying, what's the X factor? How did this happen? How do we not see this coming? I think it was social media.
Agreed.
That drove it.
Yeah.
And I think that what they weren't paying close enough attention to was social media. If you look at Hillary's Twitter account and you look at Donald Trump's Twitter account, if you look at Donald Trump's Facebook page and look at Hillary Clinton's Facebook page, that tells the whole story. Because that's where everybody is interacting.
20,000 live viewers for a Donald Trump live talk, and about 1,000 live viewers for Hillary Clinton's talk.
And Hillary Clinton would go and do a rally somewhere, and there was 200 or 300 people present.
Right. With Jay Z.
With Jay Z and Beyonce. Yeah.
Trump is 5 miles away sometimes doing a rally, and he's got thousands upon thousands. So when people were, that's what I was saying the whole time. To be honest with you, I was watching the election. And the thing that was surprising to me was that he didn't win faster and more overwhelmingly.
Yeah.
I do think that there was election fraud that took place.
Of course.
I think it took place.
By the way, that's one of the things I'm really glad that Hillary Clinton lost, because it shows that the elections still work.
Yes. Like, you and I were very concerned with that.
Yeah, I really was. I mean, with Soros controlling election machines and stuff all over the country, I thought for sure that there's just no... Like, I know that he's... has every opportunity to win, but there was, like, even when they were delaying Michigan and Wisconsin, I was like, there's some election fraud happening right now that's taken so long.
Yeah.
I guarantee it.
Well,
and I'm pretty sure that's why she didn't concede right away, is because they were going to see what other strings they could pull. But it was just, I think it was so overwhelmingly, even with the fraud.
Now, I can't prove this. This is just what I think. And Sage and I were talking about this the other night. I think that he won in such a landslide that even with election fraud going on, she couldn't overtake him. Because when you have the numbers that he had versus the numbers that she had, I think all of the attempts at election fraud that did take place, and by the way, we have proof that they did take place. But I just don't know on what scale, like how much.
Well, we know what happened with Bernie.
Yeah, so I don't think that even with the election fraud that took place, it was able to overtake the landslide victory ultimately that Trump had. Now, everybody knows how we feel about Trump's past and everything else. I'm just saying it as it is. I just think that that's true. I think that what happened was that it was really a landslide, and I think there's a lot of election fraud. That's the only reason it was close. Did you see the map?
Yeah, it's stupid.
The map is all red.
Except for like five counties.
How do you have
a California.
Map? How do you have a map drenched in red?
Right.
With a few parts of blue, and it's still a close race.
Oh my gosh!
That was
because
the part
California
that really messed me up.
California has 55 electoral votes.
Yeah, it's the density of those areas.
Yeah,
thank
I mean,
God
that's
for
really
the electoral college, man.
Yeah,
but I've seen people argue about, you know, well, she won the popular vote, and I said, well, if the contest was about a popular vote, the campaigns would have been different too.
Right. That's
you know,
right.
So you can't get around, you know, the Trump win.
Yeah, that's right. That's true. Yep. And so that's the thing too, is when they say she won the popular vote, I don't buy that. I just don't. I mean, you know, if someone can say, Jeff, you don't have any proof of that. Okay, I know. I'm just telling you how I feel. I don't buy it. I don't buy that she had the popular vote either. I think there was election fraud that went on a large scale, and I think we will never really know to what degree it went on. So that's how I feel, y'all. Joy, what are your thoughts before we go to some of these clips?
I didn't, whether Trump or Clinton had won, it wouldn't have been the person I voted for.
Right.
So... I mean,
you voted for Summer, didn't you?
You ride in Summer White?
Yeah, I did. Actually, Clementine. But I just think the thing I think is the craziest about this whole election is the backlash from Trump winning. I think it's kind of silly and ridiculous. And I'm a millennial and shame on us.
Well, let me go ahead and play it. Let's talk about some of the backlash. Now, here's what I'm going to say. I'm playing a clip right now. This is on CNN Live during the election night, and this is when he became president. And let me just say that when I watch this, I don't generally get angry when I watch clips, but I got genuinely angry when I saw it because I thought that is one of the most racist things I have ever seen on a news network. They let him get away with it, and I couldn't believe it because if when Obama was elected president, if I would have said something like this, I would have been crucified. If I would have said,
yeah,
when Obama became president, this is the black lash. This is black people lashing out against a white system or something like that, or a white presidency. This is nothing more than black lash, and I'm depressed about it. I would be crucified. Nobody would want to listen to me anymore. Rightly so. Here is what a man named Van Jones said the night of the election.
About Donald Trump, man. Well, look, first of all, you know, congratulations. Both of you guys were...
We're not there yet.
Well, you're further than anybody said you would be. And I have enough class, and I was raised well enough to say when you outdo...
Yes, sir. Thank you.
When you outdo expectations, you know, good for you. But there's another side to this. People have talked about a miracle. I'm hearing about a nightmare. It's hard to be a parent tonight for a lot of us. You tell your kids, don't be a bully. You tell your kids, don't be a bigot. You tell your kids, do your homework and be prepared. And then you have this outcome, and you have people putting children to bed tonight, and they're afraid of breakfast. They're afraid of, how do I explain this to my children? I have Muslim friends who are texting me tonight saying, should I leave the country? I have families of immigrants that are terrified tonight. This was many things. This was a rebellion against the elites. True, it was a complete reinvention of politics and polls, it's true. But it was also something else. We've talked about race. I mean, we've talked about everything but race tonight. We've talked about income, we've talked about class, we've talked about region. We haven't talked about race. This was a white lash. This was a white lash against a changing country. It was a white lash against a black president in part. And that's the part where the pain comes. And Donald Trump has a responsibility tonight to come out and reassure people that he is going to be the president of all the people who he insulted and offended and brushed aside. Yeah, when you say, you know, you want to take your country back, you got a lot of people who feel that we're not represented well either. But we don't want to feel that someone has been elected by throwing away some of us to appeal more deeply to others. So this is a deeply painful moment tonight. I know it's not just about race. There's more going on than that. But race is here, too. We got to talk about it.
Well, and so there you go. I just thought that was I understand that there's feelings and emotions behind all of that I understand. But I just thought, what an amazing racist thing to say.
Yeah.
It's white lash. You know, could it not be that the people who voted for Trump hate the establishment that's in place? They can't stand the elites who control everything, and they could not bear the thought of living in a nation ruled by Hillary Clinton.
A criminal.
And by the way, can we point out a glaring inconsistency? Yeah, by the way, yes, that's exactly right. Can we point out a glaring inconsistency here? Here's a man saying it was a white lash. Both candidates were white.
Right.
Both candidates
well,
are white.
It works in terms of the whole like social justice warrior type thing because Hillary's a woman.
Yes.
So it does. It goes against someone who's victimized, someone's a minority. Yep. But really, I mean, he used white lash.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I mean, both of them are white.
They're both white. And real fast. They're both white. And I got to say, I want to pray for Trump, and I hope that he is consistent with a lot of things that he said. I hope he does put Trey Gowdy on as Attorney General.
Oh,
can you imagine Trey
please.
Gowdy as the Attorney General?
Please.
Oh, I'm just like oozing over with excitement over that one.
Speaking
I
of,
can't
you
even
see
imagine.
Reno done?
Yeah, I did see that. Yes, yeah. That's crazy. Trey Gowdy as the Attorney General. Whoa, would we ever have a constitutional republic? Oh, my goodness. But, okay, so here's the thing. Hillary Clinton, though, has done more to tear apart the black community and black families than Donald Trump could do in 8 years. She has advocated for the destruction of black babies in the womb. She supported that. She has supported policies that have put black communities essentially on reservations, just like we did with the American Indians, and doing the same thing to the black community as the United States government did to American Indians. Same situation. It just hasn't taken, it's just not fully there yet. And so the black communities have been completely abused by Hillary Clinton and her policies.
Yeah,
and so when someone says white lash, they're both white, and one of them has done the most damage to your community.
Yeah.
You want her to rule over you? What do you want? Do you want black people to be on reservations with their own casinos? Because I'm sorry, that's exactly what the United States government did to the American Indian. Those people were disciplined, amazing, great people. And our government socialized them, said, we'll take care of all your needs, we'll be your nanny, we'll control everything, and here's your land, and here's your money, and everything else, we'll provide everything. And what did you have seep into the American Indian population across the entire continental U.S.? What did you have seep in? You got people that are dependent upon welfare, dependent upon the government, and they don't have to work. And so what happens now? They no longer go hunting. They no longer are disciplined people. And now what do you have? Now you have alcoholism. Mm-hmm. So they call it alcoholism now that's prevalent in that community. And what do? We pushed them onto reservation and we said, we'll take care of you. What are they doing to black communities in the United States of America? We push them onto the reservation. We call them ghettos. We call them community housing. Mm. Those are government homes.
Projects.
And what else do we say? We say, okay, now here's your money. No, here's the thing. Look, we'll give you money if you divorce your husband. We'll give you money if you are a single mom. And now you've got all these black young men being raised in fatherless homes. They are hungry for dads. And you've got how? How'd that take place? Is it through consistent Christian and historic American principles about life, work, and liberty? Or is it because you have democratic leftist policies that have taken the black community and decimated it? Mm-hmm. And this man, a black man, wants to stand up for his black community, and he wants to actually say that Hillary Clinton would have been the better choice? Please.
And I haven't seen this, the actual numbers, but I've been told that Trump actually got more of the black vote than Hillary did.
I wouldn't doubt it.
Stage was talking about that earlier. And yeah, so I mean, even in...
Yeah, the black people,
that aspect,
black people weren't buying Hillary's hot sauce.
Yeah, no.
They really weren't. No, they were not. Like that...
No, but...
That's a line from Diamond and Silk, by the way. We're not buying your hot sauce.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. But no, that's what they were saying, because like there was a big uproar when Hillary was on the Breakfast Club and Hillary Clinton said...
Right.
I carry hot sauce in my purse every day, and the hosts were like the look on their face is like, I cannot believe she is talking like this right now. And he said, are you pandering? And Hillary's response was, is it working?
There you go.
Oh
my
goodness, I think the answer gracious.
Is. What's something that you always carry with you?
Hot sauce. Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Are you getting information right now?
Hot sauce.
Hot sauce in my bag, Swag?
Hot sauce.
Really?
Yes.
Now listen, I just want you to know, people are going to see this and say, okay, she's pandering to black people.
Okay. Is it working?
Yeah. Are you
okay.
Not,
no, see.
Oh my goodness.
Whoa, that was brave. Right. That was brave.
That's why the black voter turnout was so low.
Yeah, because like they didn't buy it.
They didn't buy that. Yeah, they're not.
Well, and there's a thing that needs to be factored in here. If you live in these communities, white communities are just as affected by welfare as in the black communities, I think, in many ways. But if you live in these communities and you are stuck in this government system, whether you're white or black, I imagine you're pretty sick of it and you want out.
Right.
You know, how about
it's hard to do if they take away your food checks if you get a job.
Yeah, I mean, how about, you know, these particular communities that are dependent upon coal and dependent upon certain industries that now have their jobs stripped from them because people like Hillary Clinton and her policies, maybe they actually like to hear a guy talk. And I'm speaking on policy here, okay? So forget that it's Donald Trump. But a man that says, we're going to open up all of this so you can have jobs, so that you can work. We're going to get government out of business as much as possible. We're going to do all that so you can have jobs, you can earn for your family. Maybe people actually said, yeah, I'll go for that. Maybe that's what they did.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not an expert in this. I'm not a pollster. But I'll tell you what, it makes sense to me that you looked in areas where you would say, well, that's predominantly Democratic area, then went for Trump. They went whole Trump all the way. It was red.
Right.
I mean, that was wild.
Yeah.
But then you have, like, you know, Tabiti, who said, congratulations, white evangelicalism, on your candidate's win. I don't understand you, and I think you just sealed some awful fate.
Well, what did he want? Did he want Hillary Clinton?
Yeah, he was supporting Hillary Clinton. And it's like, Tabiti, like, I understand, like, you're black, but please read a Walter Williams book or read some Thomas Sowell on
Or the Bible.
Right.
Start there.
Brody,
are you even First Samuel?
But if you understand, like, to sit there and say that white people who voted for a conservative candidate is attacking the black community, that's not true, because I actually went out and I made sure that I voted in Arizona against the minimum wage for the cause of black people in our community, because minimum wage is damaging to the black community.
Yeah.
It's awful.
Right.
And so to say that, well, those, just because you're not towing the line and what most people expect, to say that you're for, you know, the injustice in black community, or you're racist,
besides,
or something, is crazy.
Wait, I'm confused now. Are we saying that we have to vote for Hillary Clinton for the black community because welfare?
Right.
What?
Yes.
That's confusing to me. So I've got to choose the candidate that's going to essentially put black communities on reservations?
And police brutality is also another thing that they don't seem, you know, which I think the GOP is wrong, and obviously Clinton's wrong. They're both wrong on that.
The solution to that problem is the law of God and the Constitution.
Exactly, right. Correct. But I don't think you can make the statement that you support police brutality because you voted for Trump, because that's not true, or you vote for a conservative candidate. That's just not true. So I mean, let's free up the communities financially and get it to where that they're able to support themselves on their own and they're not on the government dole.
Right.
Like, that's the best thing you can
do for
inner city communities.
Bob dole.
We're not on the Bob dole.
All right.
Before I wanted to say this real quick. It's interesting, even in that clip with that guy, what's his name, Van Jones? You know, he's saying, people are scared and they're thinking they want to leave the country, and, you know, we teach our kids not to be bigots. It's like all these people, these liberal people that have been bigots against anything Christian, they want to suppress anything Christian, they hate Christians, hate God, you know, hate anything we stand for. As soon as the moment Trump's elected, they're freaking out, crying, threatening to leave.
Literally crying.
Scared. Like, I'm scared because I'm not going to be able to say what I want to say now. And it's like, everything that they've done for the last 8 years against people in our community, it's like flipped and they're freaking out.
Right. You mentioned, I forget when you mentioned, maybe it was on a TV show, that that the Canadian immigration website crashed Donald Trump became president.
It was about 2 hours before they announced he won.
Okay.
It came out. So people were freaking out that much and then crashed the website.
Nobody's moving to Canada.
Oh.
This is, I'll tell you what. Hey, I loved Australia and New Zealand, but I have to say it. America is the best country on the face of the earth.
America!
Sorry. Love you guys. Your food is better. I admit that. But America is the greatest country on the face of the earth. I think it's worth fighting for in a biblical fashion. All we're going to do is take a quick break, guys. Be right back. We're going to talk about what they said on The View. We're going to find out what The View said. More on Apologia Radio. Don't forget to sign up for all access at apologiaradio.com. Don't forget to go get a shirt at missionalwear.com. They have some awesome shirts. You should get one. Luke's wearing a Spurgy Spurge shirt right now. Chuck Spurgeon. You should get one. They support us. You should support them. Be right back.
For 21 years and counting, New St. Andrew's College has sought to obey Christ's great commission to disciple nations and build him a house, not just in Jerusalem, but throughout the world. Not with stones and mortar, but with living stones. We build and fight. This is the task of a Christian liberal arts college, to equip students with the tools to build and fight. And this is our joyful task as we seek to graduate leaders who shape culture through wise and victorious living. To learn more, check us out online at nsa.edu.
What's up, y'all? This is Jeff Durbin with Apologia. radio at apologiaradio.com. Want to talk to you guys about an amazing connection that we have right now with Whitfield Theological Seminary. I want you to run over to whitfield.edu, whitfield.edu, whitefield.edu. I want you to check out the programs they have. They have undergraduate programs at Whitfield College, and they also have Whitfield Theological Seminary for the graduate degree and above and beyond. I think you'll really be impressed with the rigorous nature of the classes, the consistent biblical worldview taught and adhered to. I want you to contact Whitfield Theological Seminary at whitfield.edu. Get a hold of our friend, Dr. Kenneth Talbot, and start your classes today. ApologiaRadio.com.
But no one knows what the fuck you think.
It's so perfect.
Oh, it's perfect.
What's the view, babe?
Yeah. You couldn't have a more an appropriate song to describe the view than that. All right, Luke.
Marcus, I'm so glad you did that.
Bring us in. Bring us into the clip.
Okay,
here.
So just while we were eating lunch, I saw this clip on YouTube from The View. I think it was yesterday.
Yep.
Their response to the election. Candace Cameron was on there, and she said some awesome stuff. So we'll just stop it throughout. There's some really great stuff, and then there's stuff that makes you want to slam your head on the desk. So we'll just go with it.
So get a desk.
So
get ready.
Yes. Don't drive.
I got my desk in front of me.
Don't drive while you're listening to this. Okay, here we go.
You know, a lot of people didn't see this coming. Yeah, it's been called the most shocking upset in the history of presidential politics. Our new president-elect is Donald J. Trump. So, how'd the evening go for y'all?
Well, we were on Lifetime last night.
Right.
And I was slowly getting drunk is what happened to me.
Were you really?
Yes, she was.
Not really.
For reason I believe that.
Florida went the other way.
I'm
just kidding.
You know, it was a rough night for everybody, yeah. I think. You know, we're worried. The people are worried. You know, okay, he's the president. Now what? Mm. We're watching you, okay?
Yeah.
What scares me the most, I don't know what scares all the rest of you the most, is that not since George W. Bush has there been a White House, a Senate, and a House of Representatives all from the same party. Mm-hmm. And then the FBI has stuck its nasty little nose in the middle of this. Plus the Supreme Court, who knows where that's going to go. So
they know what's going to happen.
Wow. She's really upset at the FBI.
Ladies, you're right. And let me just say, we thank God.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes, seriously.
We thank God for
seriously.
That. Yeah.
The only checks and balances we have are us, The View. That's it.
Well, that's a little. That's a little lofty.
A little stretch.
I asked Joy, I was like, can Donald Trump fire The View?
I mean, guys, a little bit of humility would be good. I mean, no, not The View.
Theory, but one of the things he did was he blocked media out of things. They weren't even allowed to go on his plane.
Yeah, but we're not going on his plane. We're going to stay right here and talk.
Yeah, but within the party, and I've been talking about this a lot, within the Republican Party, there are such bold differences. You have a libertarian wing of the party. I've always said, how does John McCain and Rand Paul wind up in the same party? They disagree fundamentally on foreign policy issues.
Wait, her name's Jedediah?
Yeah.
Her name's Jedediah? I've never seen a woman named Jedediah.
Yeah, I don't know what her parents were thinking.
That's fascinating.
Hillary Clinton was far more hawkish in her speech than Donald Trump.
I don't even know what that means.
She talking hawkish. About the warmongering that in terms of like the differences in the Republican Party that exist, because it's true, you have like a Rand Paul.
Right.
Who should be president. And then you had
Agreed.
Then you have a person like then you have a person like John McCain, who, you know, he has his own views, yeah, and he's more of a warmonger. She has a good point. Hillary Clinton in this whole thing has been the warmonger.
Yeah.
Did you see Putin?
Yes.
I
saw what he said, but I didn't see the
quote. He basically came the day after the election and he spoke directly to the American people and he said it's time to restore relations between the U.S. and Russia. He said, and I'm looking forward to restoring relations so we can work together and essentially be a team.
Was he shirtless on horseback?
I was like, oh, we dodged a bullet.
No, seriously.
We dodged
that's
a
huge priest.
We did a show a couple of weeks ago. Yeah. What did we say? We talked about biblical forms of foreign intervention, and we did talk about the fact that war with Russia was a very serious possibility with Hillary Clinton. Hillary Clinton said as much. And so a silver lining here, we all have to grant the grace of God, the silver lining here with Trump's presidency is my son's not going to get drafted in a war against Russia.
Maybe our show had a bigger impact than we realized.
Putin's listening.
So I think there are a lot of checks still. I think the Republican Party is trying to figure out who they are and what they stand for. And Donald Trump will want to do some things that people in that party will not approve of and will stand up against.
And I agree with
this
part.
And they will fight for other things that he necessarily doesn't represent. So just because something says Republican doesn't mean that there's a consensus on issues. I can say that for sure.
Right.
We'll see.
Plus, you're here. You're here to take him on every minute of the day.
That's right. That's right. You know, and I'm already on his enemies list, as are you, Whoopi. So, okay,
last thought. The only thing that I think the scary part for me was maybe being caught off guard that I wasn't in touch with the country I live in, and that maybe I am in a bubble when critics come out on social media and say, you don't know what the world's about. Sadly, now I woke up and I thought, maybe I don't.
Like, wow.
It was like a punch.
That's telling admission.
That's very telling admission, yeah. So yep. The mainstream media is, they're at a loss for words because they just don't know. That's just bad business too, isn't it?
Yeah.
They don't know what their people want.
Because you hear about the silent majority a lot.
Mm.
And I think that that's what came out this time. The silent majority finally stood up because they wanted to fight against the establishment. I mean, I think many people, more so than wanting Trump as president, wanted to fight against the establishment. And yes, these people do live in a bubble. These people that work for media do live in a bubble. They are fed their lines. They're fed their positions. They're picked because of the positions that they hold. And then they're given to the American people as though that's what the American people believe and think and want. And it's just not the case. Because when I watch media generally, I throw up my mouth a little. Because the things that they say and do do not represent me, my communities at all. People I surround myself with, I don't look anything like these people in media.
Yeah. So. It's interesting, when I was watching Fox News during the election, just, you know, probably an hour or so before they announced that he won, they said that on Fox News. They're like, social media is completely like taken over what's happening. Like, they said that on Fox News. And they all just kind of sat there like deflated and like they realized it. So I thought that was pretty telling there too, that even they were saying that. And then yesterday I heard Hannity was going, of all people, was going after the media for the same thing. And I'm thinking, well, that's interesting that you are, but
yeah.
Anyways.
Yep.
In the gut, yeah. You know.
I have to say my heart is beating so fast. I'm
here we go. Here's
nervous
what gets good.
To even speak today. I honestly didn't think I'd be sitting on this side of it this morning.
You thought she was
going
to win.
I didn't think Donald was going to win.
No one.
And I can't say that I'm upset about it. I know that over half of America voted him in and are happy that he's there. And yet I'm in this room with a lot of people that don't seem to be happy about it. And although there are so many things, the way that he has spoken and talked about people that I absolutely do not agree with, I was a person that voted on policy, and so in that sense I am happy with the result. And yet, if anything, I hope, no matter which side you are on, it brings all of us as a people to a horizontal posture, that it brings us to our knees, our face to the floor, that we pray for our country, that we for him, whether you think he could turn this upside down or you're praying that he will uphold the positions that he said he would. I pray that we come together for that. In humility, because God says when we humble ourselves.
Well, yeah, God and says a lot of wonderful stuff. He really does. And I like God a lot.
Can you pause it? Pause it.
She said, and I like God a lot.
If you guys saw this clip, if you could see everyone's faces when she says that we should pray, they all looked at her like they wanted to choke her. It was incredible.
Well, we didn't know how to take that. And she says, God says a lot of good things, and I like God a lot. But here we go.
I have to say that given the bigger picture of what Donald Trump represents, it is not so comfortable for me, because not only does he now threaten.
Watch. Mm-hmm. Watch why Hillary Clinton. Watch what they feel they lost. Ready?
How things are going to be done with kids of color, with women's rights, with my right to decide what is right for my body.
There you go.
Yep.
Yeah.
See, that's
yep.
So front loaded there was my right to do what I want with my body. That's it. People vote on particular issues. People wanted Hillary Clinton for a handful of issues. And I'd say number one in those issues for virtually all of them was the right to murder children.
I saw a graphic from Google Analytics, and it was talking about people's searches related to presidential candidates. And the top search was abortion.
Right.
So if you're doing checks on Hillary, you're doing checks on Trump, the number one search was about their position on abortion.
Yep, that's right.
There's people outside Trump Tower right now protesting, screaming, my choice, my body.
Yep.
Not what somebody else says was right. That for somebody, not just my rights about my body, but, you know, my friend's children are afraid because this fool has said, and I know he's the president, but for me, when you scare children by saying you're not going to let them stay in the country, you're going to separate them out, children don't know what you're talking about. They hear these things and it's crazy. And this is a bigger picture. This is bigger than him. This ripples out in so many different, it affects gay folks, gay marriage, transgender.
Ding, ding, ding.
Yes, it does.
We need a little bell here. Yeah. Ding.
Oh, I should have pulled it up. What about the children that they say you're not allowed to stay in the womb?
That's right. There you go. They don't matter.
They don't count.
But you see it? The front loaded in the whole discussion, it keeps coming back to transgender issues, gay issues, abortion, that because that's where all of this swirls. And that's really what Hillary Clinton talked about the whole time was those issues, transgender issues, LGBT issues, abortion issues. Those are their prize issues. And when they don't get Hillary Clinton, they say, well, we lose these things. And that's, you know, again, front loaded in a conversation.
That's what was interesting. I was, you know, reading that someone said that the attacks on Trump, or like any conservative really, where you say, oh, you're a sexist, you're a misogynist, you're all these things because you have a legitimate political issue. They were saying that people just didn't believe that anymore. So when there's legitimate concerns with Trump the way he treats people, and the response is, that's racist, that's misogynist, people are like, oh, you're just the liberal media. You just say that.
Yeah.
And so it created a really impenetrable wall for him. Interesting. It's like a cry wolf sort of thing. And then, we get the guy, and everyone's like, oh, the liberal media doesn't know what racism and misogyny is.
Right.
Even though, obviously, Trump definitely embodies the worst of those things.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we kind of got what the media didn't want as a response to their lies about legitimate positions.
Yeah.
Under people, this has huge effects. Whether we are a nation who believes in people's rights as they are constitutionally guaranteed, whether we're
unless
a nation
you're in the womb.
Well, that's the point, though. I think people that voted for Donald Trump when they did is because Trump came out publicly and said, these are my views on the Constitution, and they were consistent with the Constitution. People understood that Hillary Clinton believed in a living Constitution or a breathing Constitution that could be changed and manipulated and essentially go with the culture. And so when she says it's about a Constitution, I don't even think she understands what she's talking about there.
Yeah.
Because that's what they voted on. People wanted a Constitution or a republic.
The rights as God has guaranteed. Whatever you believe, no child
unless you're in the womb
should be afraid that their parents are going to be taken away because they're Muslim or because they're Mexican or because they're black. No.
Wait. Okay, first of all, all the stuff that Trump said on those issues, understand what she's saying. I get it.
Right.
But when did he say they were going to deport black people? I mean, was that ever at issue? Donald Trump said he was going to deport black people?
No.
So Whoopi Goldberg just throws that in there on the end just as a fear tactic. And, you know, everyone knows how we feel about this issue, but I'm just saying, like, you have to at least be honest in your representation of your opponent. When she throws in that black children are afraid their parents are going to be deported, I mean, come on. Come on.
Kids should ever have to deal with that.
I agree.
And that, to me, is an issue.
And I hear you, Whoopi, and right that's why I pray for unity. And I do believe that God is sovereign and can use the most unlikely and unimaginable people to change things. And if this 4 years doesn't go the way that the American people hope for that voted him in, then I pray it's a kick in the pants that
find
a candidate
sure
that comes together that for a more common ground for all of us over the next 4 years.
Well, what would be great, yes, go ahead. Yes. You know, and all those things are great, but for people who don't have a relationship with God, that is your relationship, or anybody else's relationship, what do they do?
I think they wait to see what he does, because a reminder to everyone is this man has been on both sides of many issues. He was pro-choice, then he was pro-life. He was supporting government-run health care, and now he's opposing Obamacare. So my concern with him was we really don't know what he's going to do. I don't think he's going to be some conservative warrior
I'm not worried about him. I'm worried about
who he's going to hire,
who he's going to put around him. What I've seen around him gives me pause. Yeah. What I see is Stop and Frisk coming back.
That's a valid point.
That's a valid point. I understand, and that's a constitutional issue. So what you want, if you don't want Stop and Frisk, you want Trey Gowdy as the Attorney General.
Yeah, right. Hell, we do.
Yeah.
You know, Luke's probably got a position, too. You know, he could be the Spurgeon General.
Yeah, the Spurgeon General. That's awesome.
No, I can only dream.
If you want a country that does not allow stop and frisk, a violation of people's rights, especially in the inner city, then you want a person like Trey Gowdy as the Attorney General, because he'll fight against that because he knows it's a constitutional issue. If you don't have a warrant, you can't seize somebody's property, which means you can't touch them. You can't start going through their pockets. You can't stop them randomly. You can't stop them if you haven't seen them commit a crime. So if you want that, if you want stop and frisk to go away, then you need a constitutional attorney general.
Right. And see, here they go. They want a living constitution with Hillary, right?
Right.
And what's really driving their fear? There's no foundation for the law anymore once that happens, right? It becomes rather arbitrary.
Right. Right.
So absolutely.
Their fear is real.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's right. That's exactly right.
Hey, Joy.
Yes.
We got to get Candace Cameron on Geologians.
Oh, I know. I was thinking about that.
We could try Apologia
Radio, too.
Everybody knows here, we've got connections that have connections.
We
know about our connections.
Yeah. We got Ron Paul, nothing is impossible.
I believe we are, let me count here in my mind here. Hold on. I believe we are we're two steps away from a phone call with Candace Cameron.
2 degrees
that I know. 2 degrees. So I think we can make it happen. Pray for that, guys, because that would be cool. We're legitimately two steps away.
Yeah.
So maybe even one, depends on if what I'm thinking is right, that Marcus has someone's phone number and his phone. All right. So hey, we'll take a quick break. We'll come back. We're gonna play the entire interview we had with Dr. Ron Paul. We think it'll bless you guys. So we're going to take a quick break. And don't forget, y'all, the way that all this takes place and the way that you make it happen is by supporting us on All Access. It's $7.95 a month. That's what you donate to Apologia Church. What you get is the knowledge that you are participating with us in ministry, with the proclamation of the gospel around the world, the defense of the faith, engaging the culture with a biblical worldview. What you get is all of our TV shows, all of our after shows, and our entire Apologia Academy. Dr. James White, Dr. R.C. Sproul, Scott Oliphant, John Sampson, myself,
Rusty Thomas, which you have to watch,
Douglas Wilson,
fire you up.
Just tons of guys. All the stuff from New St. Andrews College is going up there. So a lot of things, but $7.95 a month. That's it. That's a donation. You get all that stuff. So to get it, go to apologiaradio.com. Sign up today. Let somebody else know. And then, like Marcus said,
be prepared this next 2 years to work with Apologia Radio and Apologia Studios so we can abolish abortion, end abortion now in the next 2 years. ApologiaRadio.com.
Hey, this is Drew from the Gotham Central Podcast. Tune into our show each week as Mike, Ross, and myself bring you all the latest news and reviews from your favorite DC Comics television show, Gotham. Listen in as three aspiring Reformed theologians discuss some of the best story arcs, comics, and movies in the Batman universe. You can check out the Gotham Central Podcast on iTunes, join our Facebook group called Gotham Central, and follow us on Twitter at Gotham_Central. We hope you tune in each week. Same bat time, same bat place.
Ladies and gentlemen, beauties and beasts, I have some good news for you. But in order for me to tell you the good news, I must share with you the bad. A beard can be a most magnificent thing, but it can also be the downfall of a man. An unmaintained beard prevents a face from shining. An unmaintained beard causes dry, itchy skin. An unmaintained beard is a source of beard drift. You know, like dandruff, but beard drift. An unmaintained beard is sharp and ruthless, like iron bristles. Not good for the lady friend. An unmaintained beard forfeits future growth based on a lack of preparation today. And let's not forget that an unmaintained beard robs your face from smelling amazing. Let not thy beard be thy downfall. Protect your manlyhood. An epic combination of manliness and manhood. If you are hearing this today, there is hope for your beard. Go to ucosbeard.com and enter the code APOLOGIA and you can save some money while you save your face.
ApologiaRadio.com. It was really a privilege doing this show with Dr. Ron Paul.
If you Did this really happen?
It really happened,
it really
man.
Happened?
We really
oh,
have it.
Man.
So Dr. Ron Paul was on Apologia TV. That episode, you'll be able to watch the entirety of it at Apologia Studios on YouTube. You should check it out and you should share it with somebody because I thought it was a blessing. So here's the thing. We got about 20 minutes with Dr. Ron Paul. We got to try to blitz him with a bunch of questions. And we'd love to do a 2-hour episode with him, but obviously his time is very precious and he's a difficult man to get a hold of, but we got him on, praise God. And so we essentially wanted to talk to him because Dr. Ron Paul represents sort of like foundation of America kind of mindset. He's not running for president. We're not advocating for Ron Paul for president. We're saying the ideas that he fought for were really consistent with biblical ideas in many ways. And the ideas that he fought for are very consistent with the founding documents of our nation. So he's a good man to talk to, and he's a good man to listen to and to read. And so Dr. Ron Paul, right here on Apologia Radio, this is the full interview. Check it out. All right, thank you so much, Dr. Paul. It's an honor to have you. And I'm Jeff, and then to my right over here in the studio is Luke.
Hello, Dr. Paul. Thanks for being on.
And then to my left is Joy.
Hello.
Hi.
Welcome, sir, to Apologia TV. It is an honor and a privilege to have you on today. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, and it's good to be with you.
Yeah, so Apologia TV, we'd love to engage the culture. We love the ideas of liberty. And you, sir, are the champion of the liberty movement. And so I wanted to have you on just for a few minutes to talk to you about a couple of things. But of course, the first question, I'm sure that you're getting this all the time right now. How do you feel after the Donald Trump election to president of the United States of America?
Not especially bad, not especially good. I don't see the new administration solving our problems, but I wouldn't have thought if the other one had won that I'd feel any better.
Right.
So I think the problems are much bigger than the individual. We have problems today which are economic and moral and foreign policy wise that have been in the system for a lot of years, maybe even 100 years that our country has changed. And that's where the problem is. So changing one leader here and there and listening to the promises that never seem to be fulfilled, I don't get too excited about that. But certainly we have to do something because I think what we're witnessing today is coming to an end. The economic system cannot be maintained. You can't keep spending money like this and running up debt. You can't keep running the world. We're in 130 countries with troops all around and threatening people. people. We have a financial monetary system. It's not workable. You can't just say, well, you can spend it whatever you want and just print the money if you need it. These all will come to an end, and I think that's why it's so difficult for the politicians to sort it out, because they deal in personalities and they tinker around the edges and they don't deal with the structural problems that we have, and they're much greater than what they deal with.
Well, that's the thing that's just so strange about you, Dr. Paul, is that you actually seem to be dabbling in a bit of sanity. And that seems strange across the political landscape. And so you mentioned, though, sir, you mentioned that in the last 100 years, a shift. Can you describe briefly that shift? What are you referring to when you talk about that shift that's taken place in the last 100 years?
Well, I think approximately 100 years ago, a major thing is that liberty got chopped into two pieces. One was economic liberty and one was personal liberty. So one side says, yes, we'll give you personal liberty. You can do what you want with your own life and your own religion, but you can't do what you want with your economic policies, and we'll tell you how to spend your money and how much you should get paid. And the other person says, oh, no, we need to be involved in the social mores of people because they might, you know, do things that aren't nice, and therefore we have to regulate personal behavior. But economic behavior, that's very important. We have to deal with it. And they separated the two, and I think it's all one thing. Liberty is liberty. And, of course, we look at it that you have to have some rules. Matter of fact, the rules are rather strict in a free society. You can do what you want, but you can't hurt anybody. You can't lie, cheat, or steal. Right. And those are pretty strict rules that have been around a long time, and they don't deal with that. And I think 100 years ago, we separated the two, and that's when our policies changed. We had income tax and Federal Reserve, deficit financing, intervention overseas and endless wars. So our policies have changed, and now we're a bankrupt nation, I think, both morally and financially.
Yes. And Dr. Paul, we are a highly downloaded Christian podcast and television show on the NRB network. We speak to these issues on a regular basis, and actually we're kind of we feel like a voice crying in the wilderness many times.
Right.
But it's interesting, you say so many of the same things. It's interesting if you look at some of the political sermons from the founding era, the New England pulpit, which really gave really this nation to us and the laws that we have and everything else. You're saying so many of the things that are in those very messages. It's really interesting. And you're saying so many of the things that our founding fathers said, but we live in a time today in a culture where people look at the things that you're saying and it just seems like such an oddball. You seem so strange when you speak about liberty in the way that you do, and economics. You know, when you talk about the IRS and the Fed and those things, people have no clue what you're talking about. You know, they don't have the frame of reference and the love of liberty that you, sir, have had for so very long, the things that you fought for. Like, for example, you know, I think one of the silver linings here, sir, for me, is just the day after the election, that Russian President Putin said, I'm ready to restore relations with the United States of America. I thought that was actually pretty amazing. Yeah. And that was sort of a silver lining. You know, I'm at least hopeful in that respect. But you've actually spoken about interventionism in a way that is, it's so weird, Dr. Paul, in comparison to what a lot of these warmongers and people that beat the war drums do, and it's just sort of normative for us. But yet your policies and the things that you've said, oddly enough, are closer to what are more the moral and biblical foundations of our nation, and really just the founding of our nation, what our policies and intervention were. And you spoke a lot about Syria in the past. You have an epic clip online where you talk about the conflict in Syria. So can you speak to that just for a moment? Just those things. You talk about the IRS, you talk about the Fed, and you talk about foreign intervention. And when you do, you seem like the oddball. But to guys like us and girls like us, we love it. We think,
exactly.
That's consistent
You're the wave of the future, because this is what this election was all about. In a way, because most people were very frustrated, very angry and upset, and they don't like the status quo, the media and the government. It was challenged. But the big problem we have now is, what are we going to replace it with?
Yeah.
And I'm optimistic about it. I talk to a lot of young people, and as bad as it may seem that I'm the oddball, I think less so than it used to be. For instance, you know, if you believe in liberty and freedom of choice in your religion and personal behavior, you actually believe you can put in your own body body what you want. If you can put into your own soul and your own mind a free choice, you ought to be able to put into your body, which means that we take a different approach on the drug war.
Yes.
And that people are shifting. Even this recent election showing that people are saying, yeah, maybe that does make sense. I think people now, compared to 10 years ago, they know something about the Federal Reserve. Nobody, you weren't even allowed to talk about it. And we've had several votes now in the House, and Rand actually got one in the Senate, and at least we're getting to that point. So I think that the people, when they hear the message, they understand it, they're frightened about it. But our big obstacle has been the propaganda machine, you know, the media and the government and educational system. But it's all being challenged. It's being converted. And one thing is you don't have to worry about what's the percentage. And you say, well, Ron, you only have 3%, 4%, 5%. You have to have 50% to change anything. No, you have to have about 8%. The leaders of our revolution, the leaders of the freedom movement in the beginning of our country, was just a small percentage of people. Mm. So that means that you don't have to say, well, we have to convert 51. You need the endorsement eventually by a majority of people, but you need the leadership, the people that are teaching our kids. And that's why homeschooling is so important and private schooling is so
Amen.
Important.
Yes.
And family life is so important. And that's where we're making inroads. So, yes, as bad as it is, I see an opening here, even with this election, even though I don't think that the solutions are going to be immediately apparent. There's a lot of obstacles to accomplish this. So I don't think this election in the next few years will change a whole lot. I think, you know, financially and foreign policy wise, things are going to get a lot worse because most people now and the majority of the people follow the propaganda of our media that Russia has to be the enemy. They're the aggressors. And all they have to do is look at a map. Where are our troops?
Right.
130 countries and all around surrounding Russia. And Russia's the aggressor. We need to wake up more people. That's all that we have to do.
Well, I want to encourage you, sir, and I hope this is a blessing to you. Man, I wish God would give you another 100 years to fight, sir. But, you know, you're talking to people right now that we have a radio program that's broadcast internationally, a television program as well. We are a voice for homeschooling and the really Christian school movement. And you know what that looks like. When people are educated in the founding of our nation and the laws in our nation, they become true liberty lovers. And we've been able to be used by God to actually move this tidal wave, really, in the homeschooling. Because you're right, sir. What we have to fight against is a system that is raising up this next generation to essentially love what the government does and to just sort of obey and submit rather than think about what is moral, what is true, what is just, and what are the foundations of our nation. And so you're talking to people right now that love, sir, the things that you talk about, and we're grateful, absolutely grateful for your life and your labor for this country. So second thing I want to ask you quickly here, and this will be interesting because I'm just kind of curious what you think. I haven't seen a lot of talk about this, but with the presidency essentially Republican, and generally that means pro-life generally, the House, the Senate, having these three branches of government as Republican and essentially, you know, we can hope for more pro-life, at least leaning. How do you think the move towards the move for the pro-life movement for ending abortion in a nation should go, considering these three branches will be at least in a better position to fight that particular battle?
You know, during the campaign, I was not a supporter of Trump, and he has some shortcomings. But he, of course, had been on both sides of that issue. But I would give him credit, either for political reasons or he has become a believer. He was pretty good on the right to life issue. He didn't mince his words, so he wanted to send out this message, and he even indicated that he would look for Supreme Court justices that would support the right to life position. So I think this is basic. When I would talk to my Christian libertarian friends, I would say, how can I defend liberty, you know, if I don't defend all life? And libertarians, take the position you can't use aggression against anybody. And of course, killing an unborn infant is killing a live human being. So this to me is key to it, because but it gets really, really difficult because of the circumstances. It's unique. Libertarians split on it, Republicans split on it, Democrats split on it, and yet it's very important. If you can't defend all life, it's pretty hard for me to defend somebody's right to make their own decision on what they're putting in their body or whether they smoke a cigarette, you know. Right. So that is why I think we have to deal with this, and also emphasize the fact that our life is very important, our liberties are important, and they come from a creator. They don't come from our government. And we have to protect the life. Government should be very, very limited in the libertarian society that I desire. And right. I think the most government, the government that we do have, we should make it as local as possible. So a lot of the things are compounded by having, you know, national laws that either, you know, dictate so much of these problems and make things worse.
Yes. Well, would you say you're hopeful with the three branches of government essentially under Republican governance? Would you say you're hopeful that there's a better chance of actually doing something significant in the area of the pro-life movement?
Well, I wish I could just say, certainly, I can.
Are you skeptical?
You indicated a minute ago about Republicans. They get charged, the House and the Senate and the presidency. Just think, it wasn't too many years ago, we had that, and spending exploded. And they're supposed to be really good on a fiscal thing. Even with Ronald Reagan, who we still admired, I mean, deficits exploded under Reagan. So if they can't even stick to their guns on spending and deficits and printing money, I think it'll be status quo. I don't think the liberals are going to make things worse. But I don't think Roe versus Wade will be repealed. Of course, for me, that's the easiest thing to argue without getting into all the nitty gritties, because Roe versus Wade is the instrument that has nationalized it, and there's no authority for under the Constitution for the federal government to be involved in that. Right. So that is the reason why I think Roe versus Wade shouldn't be the endorser of the taking of life. But no, I'm not overly optimistic about it, but it'll depend on the activists, the people that you talk to and others, because there will be a reflection among the members of Congress. If they don't reflect your views and our views on this, the members of Congress aren't going to go out of their way. They might just sort of hide from it. And that's generally been the case. If they don't have to bring it up and have a tough vote, they'd just as soon have it that way. So I may be wrong on that. Maybe something different will happen. But just from my experience in Washington, the more controversial it is, the more likely it is they're going to try to avoid having some votes on it.
All right, good. I know our time is short here, Dr. Paul, so I'll ask you one more question. If you had the opportunity to step into a role that could do significant damage and positive impact in terms of justice and a righteous form of government, what do you think would go first? What would you do first? If you had that opportunity, what should go first to start establishing a more a just society and liberty-loving society? What do you think you would go after first?
Well, for me, it's bold. It's rejecting the notion and endorsing authoritarianism in the government, because that means the role of government is different than it should be. The role of government should be to protect liberty, not to use force. Most people, and I'm sure a lot in your crowd, would know about the law, Bastiat's law, that governments can't do anything that you and I can't do, and most people accept this notion that we're not allowed to lie, cheat, steal, or kill. Those are ancient traditions. But here we have a president that just had kill lists that goes out and kills. We start wars. We're the aggressors. Everything the government does is the use of aggression. You know, the Federal Reserve is aggression. They steal the value of your money. The income tax is aggression. If you don't pay your taxes, you go to prison. And the 130,000 federal agents now carry guns, and they shouldn't be doing any of that. They should not be able to initiate aggression. So if you and I can't steal from our neighbors, the government should never be in the business of redistribution of wealth. They should be in the business of protecting liberty and put the responsibility on the individual. And if there's violence to be restrained, that should be done by local authorities. Under our system, it was meant that the state governments would deal with violence in the street, and we shouldn't have the United Nations Jones and the FBI and the CIA and everybody else involved and FEMA coming in and maintaining order. I mean, that's a militant state. That's a military operation. Yes. And even our police department now has been militarized. So it would be the rejection of the authoritarianists and the understanding of having that type of a federal government.
Oh, Dr. Paul.
Amen.
Woo! Music to my ears, man. Mm-hmm. That is good stuff. Dr. Paul, you are a gift to the world, my friend, and we're just grateful for you. So just be encouraged, sir. There is a movement afoot, and people that really love our biblical foundations, love God, and love these ideas of liberty that you fought so long and hard for. So be encouraged. We are out there, and we are fighting on shows like this, mm-hmm. and we're spreading the word, and speaking the truth. And so we're just grateful for all that you've done, sir.
Keep up the good work.
All right, God bless you, sir. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
The conversation is going to continue at apologiaradio.com. That's where we're going to have our after show. We're going to have more content, more conversation, some really great stuff. You go over there to get it at apologiaradio.com by becoming all access. Go check it out. Woo! Dr. Ron Paul.
That was awesome. I can't believe that just happened.
Yeah.
Like, what's next? Is Donald Trump next? Like,
I don't know.
I feel like that's hard to top.
Yeah, and I think we're going to top it.
Maybe we can get Rand now.
I think we probably can. Maybe get some. We'll send Rand a copy of us talking to his dad, and we'll see if we can hook us up with an interview.
I don't think we should ever insinuate that Donald Trump is better than Ron Paul.
No.
No.
In terms of the president.
Position.
Yeah, the president.
Okay, right. Just clearing that up.
Okay.
So this has been Apology Radio, and thank you guys for listening, and please share this episode with somebody you love. Let people know about Apologia Studios and Apologia Radio. Steady Randy, my man. Thank you, sir.
You betcha.
That's been Luke the Bear.
Randy, it's great having you on periodically.
That's right.
Because your shirt.
And Joy the Girl. You can also listen to her weekly on Sheologians.
Yes, you can.
At
Sheologians.com or iTunes.
There you go.
I just didn't. Okay, sorry.
Is that right? Sheologians.com?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And download it on iTunes. Marcus Pittman, King Ginger, thank you, sir.
Can we give a teaser for next week's guest
on
the radio?
Yes. Doug Wilson.
Yeah.
He's going to be on NPR, not public radio, with Steady Randy.
Excellent. Yep.
Fantastic. This would be like his sixth time, I think, on Apologia Radio.
The first time since I've been here.
We had him on before. We had him on the radio show. We also had him on Redemption Radio about two or three times. So
nice.
Yeah. All right, y'all. So we will be back next week. Apologia Radio. Thank you. Praise God that I made it through this episode. I'm barely hanging in there. So I'm Jeff the Ninja, and I think I already said bye to everybody else. Austin is hanging out right now with his Cabela's hat. How you doing, Austin?
I'm good. Thank you for asking.
Yeah, man. All right, guys. We'll catch you guys next week. Love you. Thank you for staying with us.